Hello, my name is Jamila Husbands, and this is my first podcast for Math 2590. In this podcast, I'm going to explain the links between mathematics and music. The first place that you may notice math in music is sheet music. Sheet music or scores are the written notation of the musical notes of a song. It shows the musician how the piece should be performed. Sheet music consists of the notes, time signature, key signature, and dynamics. These elements act as a guide for the musician when playing a piece. The notes found on sheet music have their own distinctive name and value. Notes indicate how long a note should be held, and the rests indicate how long a musician shouldn't play. The whole notes and rests are both worth 4 beats. Half notes slash rests are worth 2 beats. Quarter notes and rests are worth 1 beat. Eighth notes and rests have a value of half a quarter note. 0.50 beats. 16 notes and rests are worth a quarter of a quarter note, 0.25 beats. Have you noticed anything about the worth and names of the notes and rests? Their names are similar to fractions. They also add up like fractions. The key signature also looks like a fraction, 4-4 time. The top number of the key signature specifies how many beats are in a bar of music. The bottom number indicates which note gets the beat. If we have a time signature of 4-4, there needs to be 4 beats in a bar. For example, in a bar there could be 3 quarter notes, each worth 1 beat, and 2 eighth notes worth 0.50 beats each. The math sequence will sound like 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 0.50 plus 0.50. As long as the notes add up to 4 beats, this bar will work in a song of a time signature of 4-4. Frequency also plays a role in music. Frequency is the number of times the wave of energy completes a cycle of oscillation in a second. So basically it refers to the sound that we hear. So the higher the frequency is, the higher the pitch. Hertz is the unit of frequency. Jason Brown is a mathematician who looks at the links between math and music. In his book, Our Days Are Numbered, he states that all sound is due to vibrations, air molecules moving back and forth in a rapid succession. The basic building blocks of all music sounds are pure tones, which correspond to objects vibrating in a wave. The wave is called a sine wave. The x-axis is the time and the y-axis is the amplitude. Brown states that the loudness of a pure tone corresponds roughly to the sine curve's amplitude, and that is how high and low it goes from the midpoint. The pitch of the tone corresponds to the frequency of the curve, and that is how fast it repeats. If we take a note that has a frequency of 55 Hz and another note at 110 Hz, the second note is double the first. It can be written in a ratio of 2 to 1. This represents the relationship between two notes. Again, if we take a note that has a frequency of 110 Hz and a different note with a frequency of 165, it will have a ratio of 65 to 110. It can be written in a smaller ratio of 3 to 2. This represents a ratio between notes C and D. Pythagoras was a Greek philosopher and mathematician, and he is known for making contributions to the idea that there are links between music and math. An article written by Alex Donnelly, it states that Pythagoras believed everything in life can be represented in a fraction. Pythagoras discovered something interesting with a string instrument. If you pluck the string of a guitar, then divide that string into half, the second note is the same as the original note. The second note is an octave higher than the first note. An octave is an interval between two notes, with one note with a frequency exactly twice the original note. Octaves can be represented in fractions and ratios. If note C is plucked on a string, then divide it into half, the second note played is C2. So the second C will sound twice as high as the first C plucked. This can be written in a ratio 2 to 1. Like discussed earlier, I said a note that is double the frequency of another note, the two notes will have a ratio of 2 to 1. Ratios in music are used to describe the relationships between pitches and notes. Patterns are also very much present in music as it is in math. Many of the songs that you may be familiar with have patterns within the songs. Composers use patterns within their music, and the musical term of these patterns is motif. A motif is a short rhythmic or melodic passage that repeats. If you think of a song like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, you can hear how patterns are used. One of the patterns in the song is up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. The notes repeat and create a pattern. The notes are G, G, F, F, E, E, D, G, G, F, F, E, E, D. Patterns are also used to create a major scale. A major scale is made up of seven notes. These are seven notes between an octave. The seven notes include the first note played, but not the top note. The top note will be the same as the first note played, but at a higher pitch. If we use the C major scale as an example of the seven notes, are the notes between a lower C and a higher C. The sequence of notes for C major is C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C. In that scale, the notes are ascending in order and the pitch is getting higher. To find the major scale of C, a pattern is used. The major scale formula is 2-2-1-2-2-2-1. 2 represents 2 half steps used to find the next note on a scale. Starting with C, 2 notes up from C is D. The white and black keys are counted, and they both represent a half step. The first half step up from C is a black key, and the name of the key is C#/D#. The second half step from C is D. To get the next note of the scale, you have to add 2 half steps to D, and you get E. In my education class, teaching language in the primary junior division, our professor brought in a guest speaker. Her name is Jillian O'Reilly, and she is an editor and author. One of the books she co-wrote was The Great Number Rumble, and it's about a student who tries to stop the director of education from banning math by showing him the many different places math can be found. This book shows how composers in the 1770s used probability to compose music. This book also looks at how MIDI-equipped keyboards can be used to compose music by only using numbers. If you're interested in learning more, please look into this book. It is written for kids, and it would be a great way to show your students the many places mathematics can be found. So I hope after listening to this podcast, you get a better understanding how mathematics and music are connected.